The following essay was originally aired in 2001. You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, February 17th, 8:30 a.m. Central Oregon coast, mouth of the Yaquina River. A harrier hawk negotiates through ferocious winds above the dune grass with gravity-defying unpredictability one experiences when trying to draw together two repelling magnets. It hovers precariously against the airstream as if balancing on a pin. The slightest turn of a feather sends it careening sideways with enormous force at an uncontrollable speed. The tide is turned. A parade of weary fishermen marches in from the jetty, retreating from their harsh early morning pastime. Bundled in wool, cotton, and galvanized rubber, they shuffle to their parked cars with nets, poles, and buckets awkwardly dangling. Taciturn faces have been stripped of emotion by the cold and wind. The South Jetty is well known to divers, fishermen, and birders as a point of access to life in the normally unapproachable coastal surf zone. The North Jetty, built by the Army Corps of Engineers in 1896, is one of the oldest navigational projects on the Oregon coast. These two rocky extensions are designed to provide a safe route from the ocean into the Yaquina River. They concentrate and accelerate the water flow at the mouth of the river, scouring out shallow sand deposits and stabilizing the channel. Wave action is muted against the jetty's rocky sides. Swells continue to travel a short way upstream, lessening as the river absorbs their energy. Yellow, low-angled light bounces off a solid slate-gray cloud cover. Breaking waves emit an unearthly radiance in contrast to the gunmetal blue ocean. Upstream, harbor seals hover together in groups, with only their eyes and noses above the water's surface. This resting posture is known as bottling and can be held indefinitely. The main arch of the Yaquina Bay Bridge encloses the aging bayfront with its ersatz waterfront carnival atmosphere tailored to a bustling tourist industry and its still operational fishing fleet. The Art Deco Bridge, with its trailing arches, is one of many architectural triumphs of the Works Progress Administration and the Civilian Conservation Corps. This project and others like it was an economic antidote to poverty and unemployment in the 1930s. Nutrients carried from the Yaquina Basin enrich the river and surrounding ocean. Life at the boundary of fresh and salt water is especially productive and diverse. My own limitations prevent me from directly experiencing the hidden world beneath the river's surface. As is often the case, birds are proficient in both environments. Through them, I can vicariously enter exotic territory. Diving birds are everywhere and active at the mouth of the river. Their numbers and variety reflect the bounty below. Common and Pacific loons hunt independently near the center of the channel. Small fish are the mainstay of their diet. Beneath the water, loons' body feathers compress, forcing out air and reducing drag. With powerful thrusts of their rear-set legs, these sleek projectiles are the picture of agility and grace underwater. This design plan leaves them so awkward on land that they must patter along the water's surface to become airborne. Virtually all loons nest around lakes in the far north and spend their winters searching for fish in fertile temperate coastal waters like these. Black, white-winged, and surf scoters form rafts throughout the estuary. These three species of closely related diving ducks specialize in capturing and eating mollusks. Surf scoters, the males with their striking orange, white, and black head pattern, are by far the most numerous. A group of about 40 pelagic cormorants rests on the opposite shore. These snaky-necked, jet-black sea crows hold their wings apart, giving them a distinctly prehistoric profile. The feathers of cormorants become waterlogged after a short time in the water. This aids them in diving, but means that they must spend a great deal of time drying out. A few western and red-necked grebes hunt quietly among the scoters. A sudden, quiet, arching dive leaves no trace or ripple where the bird had been swimming seconds before. The Lane County Audubon Society's February 24th meeting features a talk by Bob Fleming titled From Murchison Falls to the Impenetrable Forest. Travel from the dense green forests of the Congo Basin to the barren desert of the Northeast. Some 1,800 species of birds live in the area, while large mammal populations are resurging. Hippo, elephant, gorilla, and chimpanzee numbers are on the upswing. Come to the Eugene Garden Club at 1645 High Street at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, February 24th. All are welcome. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y, at msn.com.